Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and in this week's episode we have amazing guests on the show. So let's get started right away. Have fun listening. Hello, Studio Moto. Thank you so much for being on the show. How are you?
Yeah, quite good. Thank you. Thank you for having us. We're curious to see how this is going to be and what questions you will come up with.
Thank you again for being on the show. And the first question would be, who are you? Please introduce yourself and the studio.
We are Studio Moto. We started like 5 years ago with Thomas, Ik and I, Mo van den Bergen. We're from Belgium, from the both parts. I'm from the more north parts and Thomas is from the more south part. And we've met a couple of years ago working together at the office Robrecht en Daam, which is an office in Ghent as well. But after 8 years working there together, we started something new together. And it was the birth of Studio Moto.
So you said, okay, now it's time to do something for ourselves.
No, I think it's happened a bit. Mo started working on his own a little bit earlier, and we started doing some competitions together for the fun a little bit. And straight away, we won two competitions, the first that we did. So we thought, okay, now we've got to start something together. It works quite well. And since we've been together.
Great.
We started doing a competition as a joke a little bit for some French fries shops. And so
really?
It was something a bit unique.
In Brussels, yeah. And it's now after 4-5 years, it's the first one arrived in Brussels. So it's the friture, it's called. It's the Belgian snack everybody knows in the world. we did a design to renew the old snack bars in Brussels, and that's basically how it started for us.
Yeah.
Before we get deeper into this, I have some warm-up questions for you.
Okay.
First, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
Depends on the situation.
Can also be just a glass of water if it's your favorite drink.
I'm thirsty right now, but well,
if Mo likes beer,
I like beer, wine, everything. But it like Thomas says, it depends on the moment. Huh?
In the morning we like having a coffee, but I don't know if you can say if you're thirsty, you don't want a coffee, you want something else. So. Water here at the office, it's mainly water and coffee in the morning.
And after work?
Yeah, after work. Now, very soon we're gonna have a few beers. So
yeah.
If you could choose a skill that you develop overnight, what would it be? If you can wish for anything, what would you choose?
I didn't understand the question. What does it mean?
A skill, so something.
Yeah, skill, but did you.
Would you wish to fly or time travel or learn every language in the world? Oh. What would you choose?
Not sure.
I would love it if I could just. You design something and then it stands there without all the hassle that's in between. It's we go through periods of ups and downs where we really enjoy the creative process, but then you've got to go through all the bureaucracy, and that's really painful. So if that could be something that could be totally skipped through some kind of that would be great.
So you just beam your your design on the construction side without all this bureaucratic?
I think it's, mainly it's all the bureaucratic aspect, which I really, I really hate. So, yeah.
You should choose something different now so you can be a superpower together.
Well, we've got two superpowers together, that's right. So we're actually quite lucky here. So let's go, Mo.
What's I really don't know.
We've actually got, here at the office, we've got like a 3D printer.
Yeah.
And that's already quite amazing because we don't need to make models anymore. They just get made by the machine. So that's also quite...
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It still takes Dan a couple of days to put everything together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I should think about a superpower.
Okay, I will come back to this question at the end of the podcast. Okay. Next question, your favorite hobby besides architecture?
I'm just playing football on Saturday, which is perfect and very needed after a week of labor.
And a lot of sitting.
Yes. Yeah.
I think both of us like the outdoors when we can.
But you have the aviator stuff?
Yeah, I've started not too long ago try a flight simulator, and I got a bit addicted by it. So I got myself the whole equipment. And
The whole equipment, also the seat where you can feel the movement and everything?
Not yet.
But you're working on it.
Well, it adds up. You get all these things that you can buy. And yeah. So.
Okay, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Then, first real question, how do you start your design process? Do you have a set of rules, or?
I think we don't have rules, but we have habits, I think. For sure, I think it's normal to go through the program and the questions and the situation and the context. Mm-hmm. And
we like starting with laying out all the problems, because usually every project has got its issues, which make it quite problematic for the client, and we like going straight to the problem and trying to evolve from there.
And we do it always together from the beginning till the end, and it's quite a natural. I mean, it's it grows by discussion and. By having the 3D done, and
we challenge each other quite a bit as well. Just often one thinks he's got a great idea, and then the other just questions it, and then another one stage. Suddenly it seems natural, and then that's where we put it on paper. But usually we don't draw or don't design straight away. It's more like a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you start a competition, you don't lock yourself separately from each other in a room and you have to think about it for hours or days, or
the opposite.
Yeah,
I think we have very very nice discussions, and that's how we try to solve the problems. Because it's by discussion you eliminate certain things, which makes the project more and more pure, I think.
I think very often it's true that when we have a design, often we can't imagine really coming with something else because we've looked at so many options and. Mm. And it just breaks down into something essential, which we think is, I mean, of course, other people would do something else, but the more we think about it, the more it gives us a reason why we do it. And
But we combine it with also the 3D models. I think Thomas very well in handling the SketchUp and all the computer stuff.
With what CAD program do you draw?
Well, we actually really like SketchUp. It's
it's simple and fast and easy to handle.
We still draw the plans in 2D.
Mm-hmm.
But with the SketchUp, we go fast to the 3D printer to try out, and that's a little bit how it works.
Are you planning on using BIM in the office?
We're doing it at the moment, but lots of frustrations.
So yes.
I actually hate it more and more. You end up having to, it breaks totally your creativity. So we originally work with 2D, as Mo said, and 3D via SketchUp. And we thought, well, it's a bit of a waste of time because you draw in 2D and then you have to redraw in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working with ARCHICAD at the moment. And I've got a list in the Excel with all what I find is wrong with it. You can just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. It's actually, if somebody hears me now, never buy ARCHICAD. It's a waste of money and time and energy
I have a lot of colleagues who love ARCHICAD.
Well, it's really useful if you design every time the same thing. You can really just repeat the process and everything has been already encoded.
Mm-hmm.
But if you work with complex projects, we're still working with it, but the time and energy, it drains you, really. It really drains you. I mean, it's not like you're sculpting something or like you're drawing something. It's really like you're
put in data all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
clicking
all buttons and
I never tried it. I'm stuck with the Vectorworks still, so which is fine.
And when you're in this creative design process, who or what inspires you? Do you sometimes just have to get up from your desk and you walk around in a forest, look at nature, or how do you clear your mind to come back with good ideas? Or is there also a person? It doesn't have to be a person from the architectural world. Just someone who inspires you.
Well, I think someone or something, it can come from everywhere, but effectively it's nice occasionally to just step out of your routine and change your ideas. Like we just had a few days holiday and it's great to resource yourself and to get inspiration and to get out of your planning mode, get out of the schedule.
It's a good thing to give it a rest.
Mm-hmm.
And not even go and look for inspiration, but just
clear your mind.
Clear your mind. I think that's also good inspiration, because if you leave it like a day or two and you watch it again, you will see different things.
But that's maybe one thing which often when we start a competition, we go on excursions, we go and visit the site, and then we have something to eat a bit closer. It's actually quite pleasant, and it doesn't feel like work, and that's actually quite conductive to free our ideas, and it's actually. Yeah, it's a good way to move on. It's not just sit at your desk in front of a blank sheet of paper and trying to come up with something.
Yeah, I think the best way
is better to wait than to search sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the best way to find a solution is when it doesn't feel like work, as you said, not when you're sitting at your desk and you have to do now something that needs to be done. Then, yeah.
But even if you go for a walk and you leave it for a day, you don't think about it, even then it can pop up like, oh, maybe we should try it this way, or it can come from nowhere as well. I think we don't really search for creativity. Like, don't have so many books here, or, I mean, no Pinterest forbidden. So yeah, it's better sometimes to leave it and to wait.
And what importance has nature in your projects? I see already a lot of plants in your office. What's your approach in terms of climate change?
Open the windows. No, it's a big problem. It's making a lot of people nervous.
It's making me nervous.
But at the same time, I think everybody is used, has got their routine, and just thinks that there is only one way of living, and that's the way you live at the moment. But just in the last couple of months, you can see how things can change quickly, and people can take new initiatives and change their habits.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's a bit human nature. We need a bit of a wake-up call before we start changing our habits. And in terms of climate change, in terms of how we should build, I think we should... it's not through technology that everything needs to be solved, but it's rather in us having lower expectations about size, about luxury, about... you can live simply and solve a lot of problems, which, how to, for example, if you've got a big house, it will cost a lot more energy to heat up. Rather, if it's smaller, it's going to be a lot easier to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And then naturally, nature in that sense plays a very important role, because we do think that this connection with nature in architecture is primordial in order to feel good. I think a place which is disconnected from nature is not going to be conducive to a nice environment. So we really think that nature is quite important.
And do you think there's actually the need to build something new?
New, do you mean a
new system?
A new house? Or can we not just use what's already here, empty, and you give it a new purpose?
Exactly. No, I think we do. We certainly believe in the reuse of old things, and make with what you've got and improve it one way or the other. But I think actually, if you play with what's there, you can as well improve the quality of the new bits which you add in. So I think it's a relationship and it's continuation that you create with that.
And do you think, like, a single family house, is this still up to date in terms of overpopulation, or do we need to rethink this whole way of living and the whole way of thinking what success means? Mm-hmm. Like this single family house with the fence around and the two cars and the dog in the backyard and the two children. Is this success still, or does...
Well, it's a good question. I mean, it's true that if you think about the problematic of the footprint that everybody's got, density is the key to solve this issue. So living in a city is certainly the first step towards a more sustainable future.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a single family house myself, so, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely something I appreciate. It's not big, so that's one step towards redemption. But it's hard. I think also a big problem is this thing about cars and the transport of goods, like everything that we order through the internet and
mm-hmm.
to be transported by a truck, and it's so all the infrastructure linking everything. I think that's, to me, that's something which needs solved quite quickly.
But also the balance between urban space and open space.
Yeah.
I think in Belgium we have quite a bad reputation about how we densified and took the open space in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so spread out, which also means that we have a lot of problems in transport, fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But every big project they want to do to solve the problem of the transport, it always has impact of people living around these places, because everybody is so spread and dense together. Every big project is difficult to develop because they're always like clocked.
Complaints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also grew up in a single family house and I really love it. And I really love to come back home and have it. But then if we look to the future, do you think the state at some point could say, there are so many people, we have to give you a certain amount of space, like each person has 10 square meters. Could you imagine a world like this?
10 square meters?
For example, because there come so many people that we don't have space anymore. Do you think this is possible in the far future?
I mean, as an architect, we're not, I mean, I'm not trying to think about this extreme situation because it's, I think the world would be quite a different place. I mean, we're not quite there yet. Also, this thing about surpopulation, etc., it's a global problem, yes. I mean, Belgium is already quite a dense country, particularly Flanders, where we live. And there is still green spaces, but as Mo said, there has been bad management. So there is a lot of houses that have been built in the 60s, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a matter of, I mean, I couldn't imagine back in the days, in the Middle Ages, etc. You already had cities which were small cities, but still quite high density, or villages. So you get character with high density. It's just a matter of how it's done, I think. If it's just communist housing, very repetitive, and no. But if you create green spaces, and if you manage the car, if you manage the public transport, and if you don't have too many hard surfaces around, then it can be pleasant.
And how do you imagine working with artificial intelligence? Like
Mo has seen a program yesterday about the artificial intelligence. Tell you about it.
In the army, and the conflict between China and the United States, which was very scary. But about artificial intelligence in architecture, you mean by developing architecture or more like construction?
Like you read the competition, then you push the button. And artificial intelligence gives you 20 possible variations and you choose one of them and define design lines you do yourself. But
I'm not sure if we still doing architecture. I think
it's quite scary because it means that it's bound to and it's going to happen in some ways, I think, what you're saying. But it's like these Instagram things where everybody finds themselves looking at the same thing. Everybody will end up living in the same things. It's and then you'll have this picture of everything the same next to one another, maybe with little variations here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you choose more variation.
Yeah, but then they'll put another plant in front of your door.
Yeah, but I noticed this. You scroll on Instagram and every render looks almost the same because it's this Instagrammable picture, and then you just scroll and everything looks the same. Do you think you lose your individual character, or architecture gets a little lost in this Instagrammable picture? Because you just look really fast through it, but nobody takes the time to see what's inside, why it looks how it looks.
I think it's not only because of this artificial intelligence that everything looks the same, but more and more the world is building also on this in the same way. The concrete slabs and every building looks almost always the same. Mm-hmm. And that's why we find it for us interesting to have our projects very different. We have a little watch out tower we will build. We have social housing we do. We have so many different programs in our portfolio, which keeps us having a fresh mind and always rethink from zero. But I think a lot of offices or architecture in general,
Well, that's also the nature of things. And once you start doing something, then you do more of it, and it's also more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But it's less fun.
Yeah. But imagine now we have artificial intelligence in every office. What happens to the people that we don't need anymore? Like all the details, we don't have to redraw every detail again, or section, or whatever. What happens to them? Yeah. Like not every bus driver can be an IT specialist overnight.
Well, I think that's an issue that's not only in architecture, it's every...
It's also a bus driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, I think as long as the creative process doesn't get replaced by artificial intelligence, I don't mind, because there are other jobs being created as well. I mean, there are so many jobs where I would just love if there was a button which could just make it for me. It's there's a lot of stuff in architecture which is really boring to make and wasted time. So go artificial intelligence.
Wow, nobody said this so clearly before.
No, take it with a pinch of salt, please.
Yeah, but maybe artificial intelligence could also be a tool that we can use so we have way more free time to do what we actually like to do.
And
this could be the really positive view.
We should do the stuff we don't like to do. That's, But being creative, I think that's our thing to do. We don't need artificial intelligence for that.
Yeah, but I saw
it's
on the news
to be replaced.
I saw on the news those walking robot dogs in China walking through the streets. This was scary. It looked like a horror movie, really. So in terms of this, how do you imagine the future living and working space? Is, for example, home office a topic in your office, or do you say, no, we need to meet on a regular basis?
We did it until Corona times. And then Corona started, there were heaps of empty offices in town, so we got ourselves an office. And
Yeah, but we
and we really like it, having our own office and not working from home. I mean, home is home, and
yeah, it's better to keep it separate.
So you don't like the fusion between work and life?
We can't avoid it entirely, I think. But
but we are a small office. We are three people. Mm. I think if you have an office of 50 people, I think I would understand that some people likes more to work one day at home or something.
Yeah.
But it's cozy here. We have our plants, and I mean, we can play music, so it's fun.
We have our plants.
Yeah, plants.
Yeah. Ah, so plants. Okay.
Both.
Have you seen the movie Ready Player One?
No, I haven't.
No. I don't even know it.
It's a horrible science fiction movie. It shows, I think, the year of 2050, 60, and everybody lives in those little concrete boxes with their Oculus Rift glasses on and having their own avatar. Do you think this is possible?
Some people would try it, but I think I'm not sure. I'm quite optimistic. I think people still like reality somehow. And
you really need to get out and see other things. I mean, I can't imagine. I mentioned the flight simulator. I can't do it all the time.
You do it already.
I don't.
You're already in 2050.
Yeah, I haven't got the glasses yet. No, you need to go outside to clear your mind as well. It's not possible otherwise. It's quite intense if you're always in front of a screen.
I think we are lucky that we are old enough that we didn't grow up with a mobile phone and social media.
But what happens if the avatar that you created lives in a world that's even better than reality?
But that's already...
Well, that's, yeah, you can fly, you can go on the moon, you can... But it's not reality. It's, I mean, to me, virtual reality doesn't compare. It's...
Yeah, but people can get addicted and live their life. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe we will find out.
But then we are...
Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. I think best not to think too much that this could happen. I don't think so. But...
Okay. Then we already reached the last question. What means architecture for you personally?
Peace once it's done.
Peace. And for you?
It's like, what does it mean for me? It's happiness by creating it, and then depression by having it through the bureaucracy, and then happiness again when it's finished. And when it's finished, you forgot the bureaucracy. So you start another project and you come back in the depression.
So it's a like circle hell and happiness.
Addiction. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was really nice to talk to you, and thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critics, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!